This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Good morning, I'm David Fair. On May 3rd of 1978, six college students started off in a beat-up truck for their first day of a grand experiment, curbside pickup of recyclables. That was 35 years ago. In this installment of WEMU's The Green Room, Barbara Lucas looks at Recycle Ann Arbor, then and now.
We're at the drop-off station on Ellsworth Road, Ann Arbor. Diane Holbatter of Myland is dropping off a carload of household recyclables.
How long does it take you to drive here?
20-30 minutes.
Wow.
But my children shamed me many years ago when they were in middle school into recycling. So now I have to do it. Or answer to them.
Hundreds of people a day keep a wide range of materials out of the landfill by coming to the drop-off station. Calvert's Roll-Offs on Jackson Road, also owned by Recycle Ann Arbor, accepts the same materials in addition to construction waste. Unlike in other cities, all these operations are nonprofit. That's one of Recycle Ann Arbor's 10 trucks whose automated arms lift and tip bins of single-stream recyclables under a contract with the City of Ann Arbor. It wasn't always this way.
Hi. How are you?
So good to see you.
Forever.
It has been forever.
Recently, some of the people who worked to bring curbside recycling to Ann Arbor gathered to swap stories of its genesis in 1978. They caught up with Rich Ruhl, currently of Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
The Ecology Center was already collecting recyclables, but residents had to drive them to the drop-off at Arborland. Rich recalls that he was studying curbside in school, and at the next Friends of the Earth meeting, on a whim, he stood up and
announced at the meeting that we were going to start a curbside pickup service. And did anyone have a truck?
Turns out a student named Jonathan Dreyfus was curbside-minded as well, as he'd been volunteering with the fledgling program in Boulder, Colorado, and he had two trucks. But there were no cell phones, so Rich put a notice on a bulletin board at the union that he'd like to meet this guy named Jonathan.
I said, well, let's do this. I have the trucks, and I know the town, and that was it.
So they gathered up volunteers.
Darn landline phones, that was tough. And no message machine.
I remember
either.
Phone trees.
But they had no money, so they formed a nonprofit and began begging. Dan Ezekiel recalls how the Oddfellows said no to funding recycling, but yes to a baseball team.
They would sponsor that and not...
Right, because recycling was too radical. But we had to go through an initiation. We had to try out becoming Oddfellows.
What's the handshake?
We would die before we could take it.
Working conditions were really rough.
I remember in the midst of winter, the volunteers being on the back of the truck, and it would be, 10 degrees, and we'd be driving along, and the low-hanging branches would slap their faces.
But it wasn't all hard work.
We had fun. I remember we'd throw out a 20-foot log chain when it snowed, and we'd ski behind the trucks.
And they were buoyed by the support of residents.
The area we targeted initially was the Old West Side, and these people had bought into the recycling during the Second World War.
Yeah,
people, I remember we'd be driving along and people would come up in their cars, pass and wave and honk.
It was a bare-bones operation. They had no recycling bins, so stuff got wet.
And then what do you do with wet newspaper?
Oh.
Frozen newspapers didn't go over well with one vendor.
He told us to leave and never come back.
So they salvaged some building materials and built a shed for cover on some land they were told was okay, but then the guy changed his mind.
Yeah, and then we had to take it down, piece by piece. That was bad.
That was a sad day.
Yeah.
To save gas by getting more loads on each truck, they smashed the glass as they went. Their technology progressed from baseball bats to rebar to a cobbled-together contraption.
So Carrie, who's very inventive, thought of this machine, and it had a lawnmower engine that spun around, and it had chains on it that acted as flails, and so you didn't have to personally break it, with your face
really
over
noisy.
The barrel. And then it just rejected about every 100th bottle and threw it back out.
They worked hard to keep the materials uncontaminated.
Because we needed every penny, and the buyers wanted it that way and would pay more for it that way.
And no magazines.
I still separate them out, and then I put them back together again. It was just a habit.
They had to fight off scavengers.
The pirates. Canned scavengers would be out there before the truck to steal the profits, Because you need to pay for gas, for God's sakes.
And do you remember...
Fast forward to 2013. Recycle Ann Arbor now employs 37 people, but margins remain slim and infrastructure challenges continue. The drop-off station is sinking as the old landfill it was built upon decomposes. We're with manager Becky Andrews.
I don't know if you can feel it under your feet, but you're kind of standing like this.
The floor is tipped and the walls are cockeyed, making it hard for doors to open and close. Accessing the outdoor collection bins is a challenge for driving and for walking.
This is where we needed the boots.
Yeah. Oh, it gets much worse. Sometimes they get sucked off your feet.
Why the tight budgets when recyclables bring income? Here's Joe Horn of Calvert's Roll-Offs.
You don't always make a profit in recycling. Sometimes you lose a little bit here, make a little bit here, and you break even to be green.
An example is polystyrene foam recycling.
It's a hard product to handle. We have to have a dedicated baler for styrofoam because it explodes and it gets into everything and it will contaminate our other streams.
With all the new products, preventing contamination is more challenging than it was 35 years ago, for instance.
Biodegradable cups. It can't be recycled with the general plastics. It contaminates the whole stream. Right now people are confused. They see a plastic cup, they throw it in with their single stream material.
Between labor and fuel costs, it's hard to make recycling cheaper than trashing, since Michigan's landfills charge less than most other states. We're in the office at Calvert's Roll-Offs with manager Don Stabler.
Do you ever wish we'd raise our tipping fees in Michigan?
Every day. Every day.
But he doesn't see that happening anytime soon.
There's too many landfills. There's a landfill in every corner when you get down towards Detroit. You know, you have all the trash coming in from Canada and all the other states that bring it here because it's so cheap to dump in Michigan. So as long as all that money's coming in, it's not going to get changed.
Despite the challenges, their list of materials recycled is ever expanding.
So there's materials that have the potential to be recycled that we're looking at. I mean, I'm looking at vegetable oil, I'm looking at paint. We're hoping to get mattress recycling up and running. Calvert's has started carpet recycling. So we're constantly looking for new things.
But recycling isn't the only priority. Reuse before recycle has become their guiding principle. I asked why reuse is the first choice.
Because there's no processing involved. Recycling, on the other hand, involves a process, and a process involves emissions and everything that goes along with that. So the first thing to do is to reduce the total material that's being discarded. That's waste reduction.
So towards that end, Recycle Ann Arbor runs a 20,000 square foot reuse center on South Industrial, which is chock full of antiques, building supplies, wheelchairs, sporting goods, urban wood, tools. The list is endless.
Everything including the kitchen sink and every kind of kitchen sink you can possibly imagine.
That's Jack Middlebrook, manager. They take donations daily, from books to baby grands.
It's mahogany wood. Basically, it needs a tune-up, and that is it.
He's a big believer in the value of reuse and recycling.
It's our whole mission, is to take care of the world as best we can, you know, one little piece at a time.
Recycle Ann Arbor's various operations all do something different, but are interdependent.
We always try to help each other out, and it's nice to have people that care, you know, working around you. Mm-hmm. You know, we call each other family.
Nice.
Yeah.
His comments sound familiar. Here's Dan Ezekiel again, speaking of the old days.
You know, this was really run as a collective because there was no money. And everybody was so vital.
In 1978, they were just naive kids, but their hard work set roots and grew.
I saw all those pictures of those guys and those old trucks, and I didn't even know. I'm like, really? We started this back then? You know, so that's impressive.
Appreciating the past.
Bye. Bye, Red.
While embracing the future of Recycle Ann Arbor.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Barbara Lucas, WEMU News.
The Green Room is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. This is 89.1 WEMU.